everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to our program. I've got a few different subjects to cover today, all from the June 2022 issue of Share International magazine. And it's going to start with an environmental theme, an article by Benjamin Krem's master titled SOP, standing for Save Our Planet. When one looks deeply into the present situation in the world, two things stand out as particularly important: the danger of war and the acceleration of the Earth's ecological imbalance. There are, of course, many other problems. The economic debacle, which affects many countries, especially in the West, the huge increases in the price of food, especially the staple diet of many millions, the huge and growing disparity in living standards between the rich and the poor. All of these problems are important and require early resolution. The two first named must command the attention of all sensible men and governments, for they present the greatest threat to man's well-being. Wars, large and small, should by now be unthinkable, but sadly, this is not the case. Even a world which has known the folly and futility of war at its most terrible has still not relinquished totally that abomination. The governments are seduced into thinking that old ways will, after all, render up their coveted prize. The weapons of war, therefore, have become indispensable and a major trading asset. While the weapons are there, they will be used. Small wars beget large wars as more countries become involved. Large nations fight by proxy through their allies and so prolong unimportant quarrels into war. This major danger must be abandoned by all nations. It threatens the very existence of men on Earth. Apart from war, nothing so profoundly affects the future of all men as much as pollution. Some countries have recognized this fact and have taken some steps to limit pollution and global warming. Others, sometimes the chief polluters, deny the reality of global warming, despite the overwhelming evidence to the contrary. Daily now, the climatic changes prove beyond doubt that the planet is sick and needs immediate and skillful care to re-establish equilibrium. Time is running out for men to halt the transformation which is being daily wrought on planet Earth. Every man, woman, and child must play their part in the task. Time is verily running out. SOP, Save Our Planet. That was originally published in the October 2012 issue of the magazine. And war was mentioned in that article, as you would have heard. So we're now going to go on to an article focused on the war in Ukraine. It's titled Ending the War of Attrition in Ukraine, and it's by Jeffrey D. Sachs. And Jeffrey Sachs is Professor of Sustainable Development and Professor of Health Policy and Management at Columbia University. He also holds a couple of other significant roles, including with the UN. He's written several books, most recently one titled Building the New American Economy. So this article starts as follows. New York, USA. This is, of course, where he is based. Wars often erupt and persist because of the two sides' miscalculations regarding their relative power. In the case of Ukraine, Russia blundered badly by underestimating the resolve of Ukrainians to fight and the effectiveness of NATO-supplied weaponry. Yet Ukraine and NATO are also overestimating their capacity to defeat Russia on the battlefield. The result is a war of attrition that each side believes it will win, but that both sides will lose. Ukraine should intensify the search for a negotiated peace of the type that was on the table in late March 2022, but which it then abandoned following evidence of Russian atrocities in Bucha, and perhaps owing to changing perceptions of its military prospects. The peace terms under discussion in late March called for Ukraine's neutrality, backed by security guarantees and a timeline to address contentious issues such as the status of Crimea and the Donbass. Russian and Ukrainian negotiators stated that there was progress in the negotiations, as did the Turkish mediators. The negotiations then collapsed after the reports from Bucha, with Ukraine's negotiator stating that Ukrainian society is now much more negative about any negotiation concept that concerns the Russian Federation. But the case for negotiations remains urgent and overwhelming. The alternative is not Ukraine's victory, but a devastating war of attrition. To reach an agreement, both sides need to recalibrate their expectations. When Russia attacked Ukraine, it clearly expected a quick and easy victory. Russia vastly underestimated the upgrading of the Ukraine military following years of US, British and other military support and training since 2014. Moreover, Russia underestimated the extent to which NATO military technology would counter Russia's greater number of troops. No doubt, Russia's greatest error was to assume that the Ukrainians would not fight, or would perhaps even switch sides. Yet now, Ukraine and its Western supporters are overestimating the chances of defeating Russia on the battlefield. The idea that the Russian army is about to collapse is wishful thinking. Russia has the military capacity to destroy Ukrainian infrastructure, such as the rail lines that were under attack at time of this article, and to win and hold territory in the Donbass region and on the Black Sea coast. Ukrainians are fighting resolutely, but it is highly unlikely that they can force a Russian defeat. Nor can Western financial sanctions, which are far less sweeping and effective than the governments that impose them, acknowledge. US sanctions against Venezuela, Iran, North Korea, and others have not changed the politics of those regimes. And the sanctions against Russia are already falling far short of the hype with which they were introduced. Excluding Russian banks from the SWIFT international payment system was not the nuclear option that many claimed. According to the International Monetary Fund, Russia's economy will contract by about 8.5% in 2022, bad but hardly catastrophic. Moreover, the sanctions are creating serious economic consequences for the United States and especially Europe. US inflation is at a 40-year high and is likely to persist because of the trillions of dollars of liquidity that had been created by the Federal Reserve in recent years. At the same time, the US and European economies are slowing, perhaps and even contracting, as supply chain disruptions proliferate. US President Joe Biden's domestic political position is weak and likely to weaken further as economic difficulties mount in the coming months. Public support for the war will also likely diminish as the economy sours. The Republican Party is split over the war, with the Trump faction not much interested in confronting Russia over Ukraine. The Democrats, too, will increasingly resent the stagflation that is likely to cost the party its majority in one or both houses of Congress in the November midterm elections. The adverse economic fallout from the war and sanctions regime will also reach dire proportions in dozens of developing countries that depend on food and energy imports. Economic dislocations in these countries will lead to urgent calls worldwide to end the war and sanctions regime. In the meantime, Ukraine continues to suffer grievously in terms of deaths, dislocation, and destruction. The International Monetary Fund now forecasts a 35% contraction of Ukraine's economy in 2022, reflecting the brutal destruction of housing, factories, rail stock, energy storage, and transmission capacity, and other vital infrastructure. Most dangerous of all, as long as the war continues, the risk of nuclear escalation is real. If Russia's conventional forces were actually to be pushed toward defeat, as the US is now seeking, Russia might well counter with tactical nuclear weapons. A US or Russian aircraft could be shot down by the other side as they scramble over the Black Sea, which in turn could lead to direct military conflict. Media reports that the US has covert forces on the ground and the US intelligence community's disclosure that it helped Ukraine kill Russian generals and sink Russia's Black Sea flagship underscore the danger. The reality of the nuclear threat means that both sides should never forgo the possibility of negotiations. That is the central lesson of the Cuban Missile Crisis, which took place 60 years ago this coming October. President John F. Kennedy saved the world then by negotiating an end to the crisis, agreeing that the US would never again invade Cuba and the US would remove its missiles from Turkey in exchange for the withdrawal of the Soviet missiles from Cuba. That was not giving in to Soviet nuclear blackmail. That was Kennedy wisely avoiding Armageddon. It is still possible to establish peace in Ukraine based on the parameters that were on the table at the end of March. Neutrality, security guarantees, a framework for addressing Crimea and the Donbass, and Russian withdrawal. This remains the only realistic and safe course for Ukraine, Russia, and the world. The world would rally to such an agreement, and for its own survival and well-being, so should Ukraine. That's that article by Jeffrey D. Sachs, and it was first published on the website project-syndicate.org. Now, on a totally different topic, this is about a spiritual teacher called Sri Satya Sai Baba and titled Inspiration and Guidance from Sri Satya Sai Baba. It's by Patricia Pitchon. Sri Satya Sai Baba, who passed away in 2011, left millions of devotees in a wide range of countries and a very important legacy in many fields, including health and education, having established on his ashram in Puttaparthi in India colleges for both boys and girls and an excellent hospital where patients were not turned away if they could not pay. So Baba taught that humanity is one and set an example in his ashram where people of all castes ate together. This was a very practical way to challenge an important aspect of the Indian caste system, still deeply embedded in many social customs and in many areas of life in India. In his own words, "There is only one caste, the caste of humanity. There is only one God, and he is everywhere." In his inclusive approach, he extolled the great truths found in all religions, and this was expressed even in the elementary school primers that were part of the education and human values which he developed. This program was eventually adopted as an All India program for schools by the Indian government, and by now has spread to schools in many different countries. In each country, Sai Baba urged educators should identify the exemplary men and women who contributed in important ways to their culture and well-being in various fields, and urged that discussions about human values in relation to them should form part of a range of subjects in school. For example, not just in religion or social studies or history, but across them, so as to develop in young people an awareness of what values and virtues a human being can have, can admire, and should try to develop. The Education and Human Values series, Primer 2, for the upper elementary grades, includes Hindu, Zoroastrian, Hebrew, Jain, Buddhist, Christian, Sikh, and Islamic prayers. In the final paragraph of this primer, Sai Baba says, "May we do away with our differences and shed all our bad qualities and, while becoming repositories of goodness, work for the unity of all nations." Currently, the planet is beset by many difficulties and, for some, terrible tragedies. People all over the world have lost loved ones to the coronavirus pandemic, which has lasted for over 2 years. Our sense of the unity of humanity and its suffering, a feeling that has developed more since this pandemic began, was not matched everywhere by the determination to distribute equally to both rich and poor countries the vaccines that could save lives. Fortunately, this process of trying to reach all of humanity is strengthening and is still ongoing. Despite these improvements, many of the world's economies have been disrupted due to both the fallout from the pandemic, not just deaths, but also longer-term illness, disrupted supply chains and lost businesses caused by severe lockdowns for months at a time in many countries, and now the war between Ukraine and Russia. These two countries supply a significant quantity of wheat to the world, and the inability to supply that same quantity is creating fear of famine in many countries. The cost of our energy supplies, oil and gas, and also electricity is going up, and in some poor countries, the rising cost of food has become unsustainable. There is no better time than now to develop and deepen our service to our fellow human beings. This is the path of the divine, as Sai Baba taught through personal example and through inspirational teaching. His motto, well known to many, is "Love all, serve all." His service included healing hundreds of thousands of people from a wide range of illnesses, as many can attest. He often produced sweets for children seemingly out of nowhere to their delight, and his, as well as holy ash, vibhuti, that under his specific instruction in particular cases also had healing qualities, and even jewelry for devotees. A group of swamis once admonished him over this, but Baba told them, "I give what people want so that they may want what I have to give." And what he gave in abundance was unmistakably to all those who have experienced it, divine love. That's all we have time for. Thanks very much for listening in and wish you a lovely week. We'll be right back.
permaculture. When do I prune?